You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. And you know what that sad music means. Coming off one of the rare losses that we do, especially when we have our post-game show.
We're not.
One's not on us. This one is definitely not on us. And it might not be on Jordan Montgomery either. But welcome in to another edition of the show. I am occasionally known as your mayor, PHNX, Derek Montilla. This man's occasionally known as your vice mayor, Jesse Friedman. And I am ready to talk about what the hell this lineup was today, Jesse. Explain yourself. Explain Torrey's actions. Why, when the Diamondbacks are on a roll like they had yesterday, like they went on yesterday scoring 14 runs, would you sit the majority of your lineup, including your two hottest hitters on the road in Ketel Marte and Lourdes Gurriel? Why?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question for Torey Lovello, not me, right? But, I mean, Gabby Moreno sitting in this game, not surprising. That's been a trend. Generally, Torey has given Gabby a day off in every series, and generally that's been the last day of the series. That's kind of been the trend that we've seen so far. But, yeah, I mean, to combine that with also giving Ketel Marte and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. days off, particularly with an off day tomorrow, it is a little bit puzzling to me. I won't lie. I mean, I think we all understand that off days for players are important.
Absolutely. And Torrey's going to stick to them no matter what.
Yeah, and you know, people will talk about baseball being a sport where there's not necessarily like a ton of running involved on a day-to-day basis, right? Like you feel like these guys should be able to play every day and never take a day off. And, you know, I don't really think that's how it works. I don't think that's fair and, you know, really does justice to, you know, what it does to the human body to be, you know, playing so many games over the course of a season. Having both of those guys out of the lineup on the same day, It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I had no getting around that from my perspective.
Another thing that might not make a lot of sense is Pavin hitting leadoff.
It wasn't just that you had a couple guys down. It was that Pavin was in the leadoff spot. You had Blaze Alexander hitting second.
And Corbin Carroll hitting seventh.
Corbin Carroll dropped down to the seventh slot, which is something that Torey Lovello, it sounds from what they were saying on the broadcast, like that's something that Torrey's been kicking around for a while, given the struggles that Corbin has had. And you know, if he was looking for Corbin to turn things around today, that didn't exactly happen. He did draw a walk, but he was 0-for-3 with two strikeouts in his other at-bats today.
You looked at this lineup from top to bottom. Obviously, a few regular faces were in there. Blaze Alexander is back, so that's good news considering the number of injuries the Diamondbacks have. Jock Peterson was in the lineup today. But you did have to wonder where the runs were going to come from when you looked at this particular lineup. And honestly, early on, it did look like they were able to get some things going. The D-backs had bases loaded with nobody out in the top of the first. Here we go again, where they are poised and ready to score in a big inning. And instead, you get Christian Walker hitting a sac fly that almost was a grand slam, but brings in one.
It was really close. And the XBA on that sac fly was 930, I think. If he finds a way
your
to hit that,
your expected stats are meaningless, Freeman.
If he
They're
finds a way to put it in the gap, I mean, you're talking about, you know, potentially clearing the bases at that point. But yeah, that's not what happened. It was pretty much directly at the St. Louis center fielder. And I mean, it wasn't terrible. Like, you'll take a deep sack fly.
No, absolutely.
Base loaded and nobody
it
out.
It was a changeup, I think, that he hit, and he drove it for a sack fly, right? And it, like, at least he was productive. At least he didn't do what Gino did on the next play, which is ground into a double play.
That was the problem.
Which seems like that's the case with this team a lot of times. Like, it's just amazing how quickly they will squander opportunities with runners in scoring position. Today was absolutely another one of those days, Jesse.
Remember, though, Derek, the D-backs came in leading all of baseball.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
In no, OPS because of four runners games. In scoring position.
Oh, my God. You hurt my heart when you do that. They were 0 for 8 today with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, they were. I think they were. I think I saw Teo Mackey tweeted out they were 0 for 15 with runners on base after that first inning. So, yeah, just a brutal day of offense for the D-backs on it. You know, scored 14 runs yesterday, Derek, and we talked about this yesterday. It's not like we haven't really come to expect this from this baseball team, right? I mean, this is sort of the norm where when you get, you know, 14 runs or 17 runs or whatever it is one day, it doesn't mean a whole lot about what you're going to get the next day.
It's the runners in scoring position with nobody out that really kills me. In the fifth inning, once again, they had first and second with nobody out. Two strikeouts and a Walker ground out. You got
and that
Blaze
was the
strikeouts,
that was the middle
Peterson
of the lineup.
I mean, yeah,
that was
Peterson,
Blaze
Walker.
Striking out, Jock Peterson striking out, and then Christian Walker hitting, you know, just a slow ground out. But yeah, I mean, they're also granted there wasn't quite as much thump in the middle of this Diamondbacks lineup today. And as I said before, that seemed I would understand if the D-backs had sat one of those two guys, if Torrey decided to give one of Lourdes or Cattell an off day, even with the off day tomorrow, like, I could maybe see that making sense in my head, but both of them was just odd.
And Christian Walker, again, might be concerned, some concerns about him. He's hitting 260 with a 785 OPS. And I mean, again, that's not terrible by any stretch of the imagination, but today was a day that they really needed him. And that sack fly was the most he was able to do. They had the leadoff man on in four of the six innings today against starting pitcher Kyle Gibson, and were able to do as minimal as you could do. I mean, next to nothing. They got the one run, but it just really didn't feel like they had anything cooking. They did have a lead, of course, once again, an early lead, which they blew. So that is their 14th blown lead of the season. 14th blown lead of the season. Now, some of those blown
14th
leads.
14th blown lead, and their 10th game that they lost in comeback fashion. So the 10th time they've lost a game in which they had a lead at some point during the game.
How many games into the season are we?
26. Yeah.
So 10 times out of those 26 games is what you're trying to tell me right now.
They had a lead that they blew, that the other team came back and won.
Yeah, they have now led in 22 of the 26 games that they have played. And
that's like 40% of the games.
22 of their 26 games?
They're 12 and 14.
22 of their 26 games.
Pretty crazy.
Like, that's going to happen throughout the year. That's nothing new. It's not even like starting pitching, or it's not like relief pitching is completely to blame, but relief pitching does take a lot of that, of course, but it's just hard to watch. It's becoming one of those situations where you can't even really get excited about the 14-1 victory and what it means going forward, other than you can almost guarantee the offense is going to shit the bed the next day and not be able to really put up any runs. That's what it feels like lately. I think this does show, though, that offensively this team is still potent. It's still strong. You can't say that they're not. They're not going completely silent, even though today is one of those days that this is about as close as they come, putting up only one run on seven hits. But still, they had seven hits. They had opportunities with guys in scoring position, with guys on base, for them to generate runs and give Jordan Montgomery some run support. And they did not do that, even though he was very good today.
Jordan Montgomery was very good today. Should we just go ahead and call him the King Snake?
Of course. Nobody else deserves the King Snake today besides Jordan Montgomery. Seven innings pitched, six hits allowed, gave up three runs, two of them earned, walked one, four strikeouts. Was once again efficient, only threw 87 pitches in seven innings. Last start, threw 78 pitches in six innings. So we know Jordan Montgomery is the exact kind of starting pitcher the Diamondbacks need right now, considering the bullpen struggles and how short they are on arms in the bullpen and arms that they can potentially call on if they have any more injuries. But
yeah,
Jordan Montgomery, I mean, you can't ask. I know he still gave up two earned runs. I mean, the runs that gave up the lead were a wild pitch and a run that scored on an error. So, I mean, you can't even really fault Montgomery too much for, you know, the fact that this lead slipped away. But it would be nice, after seeing his team put up 14 runs yesterday, for him to get a little bit more of that run support besides one run today.
Yeah, I mean, this game could look pretty different if Jordan Montgomery doesn't throw that wild pitch, which is ultimately what led to the Cardinals taking the lead there, as opposed to it being a tie game. If you play out the rest of that inning, Jordan Montgomery theoretically would have gotten out of it. And then you also had a Blaze Alexander error in the next inning, which, Grant, I know they were talking on the broadcast, like he made a diving play to just get to the ball, and then he bounced the throw to first. I think that's a play that Christian Walker usually makes. I mean, how many times do we see Christian Walker pick pretty bad throws to first base? It seems like that's usually second nature for him, and he didn't make that play. But I still think, watching that play back, it looked like Blaze's reaction time was a little bit slow, and that's why he had to dive in the first place. I think that's a ball where ideally you don't even have to dive to get to. You can just kind of range over to your left and get there, and, you know, not have to throw from a more difficult position as Blaze did. So I do think that I wouldn't be shocked if they, after the fact, call that a hit, because that's just baseball today. Everything's a hit, it feels like, in those, you know, those kind of 50-50 situations. But they counted that an error, and I do think it really was an error. I think it's a play that Blaze should have made.
I felt like he got to it with time to make the throw. I felt like the error was, if anything, a throwing error with the way he threw it over to first base.
It's hard to assess a throwing error, I guess, if you're if you're in a situation where you're having to dive and, you know, make the throw from a
especially
difficult position.
That runner isn't advanced to second.
Yeah, like, but I mean, that is the error that was given. Blaze was given a throwing error. That's how they scored it. But whatever the ruling is, it's a play that I think he should have made. And Jordan Montgomery wound up giving up another run as a direct result of that in the seventh inning. So if Montgomery is able to avoid that wild pitch and Blaze is able to, you know, not misplay that baseball, then you're talking about a 1-1 game, and then you're probably not looking at Bryce Jarvis coming in to pitch the eighth inning. You know, maybe Torey Lovello goes to Ryan Thompson, and maybe this game looks a little bit different at that point. So it's another game where the D-backs were right there, and if they're able to come through and some of those opportunities that they had with runners on base, if they're able to play better defense, and granted, wild pitches are going to happen, like, can't really like call that a total fluke. I mean, that's just part of the game
for sure.
But it's another game where, like, even the 5-1 final score, I think the D-backs were right there more than that score would lead you to believe.
That's fair to say. And I mean, again, there's some encouragement there in regards to Gumby and how good he has been for this team, 100%. Right? Like, it's especially with the news that we discussed yesterday that Merrill is going to be gone for what sounds like months instead of weeks. The Diamondbacks really need somebody that can come in and do what he did today. Now, what was he doing well, Jesse, that caused him to, now analyzing two starts, what has he done well that's caused him to kind of have those, like, you know, these strikeout numbers of 3 strikeouts in his last start, 4 strikeouts here, not nothing sexy there with his power, but he just seems incredibly effective.
Yeah, he was really good today. I mean, just, you know, dotting corners with pitches. He had several strikeouts on called third strikes. He had 17 called strikes in this game, which is a big number. We talk about the whiffs number a lot generally with starting pitchers, but with Jordan Montgomery, the called strikes number is also important. He has such a deep arsenal, and when you have that, you know, you can really put guys in situations where they're just guessing what kind of pitch they're going to get, and it can freeze them if they're not expecting that breaking ball that just drops on the corner or whatever. So he was really good again in this game. It was a lot of soft contact once again. His velo was still down 2 miles an hour. It's been down 2 miles an hour in every start he's made since joining the Diamondbacks organization, both in the minors and the majors, but it doesn't really feel like that matters all that much. I mean, Jordan Montgomery, you can just tell he knows how to pitch, and he was very efficient today. 78 pitches for 6 innings of work in his start on Friday, 87 pitches for 7 innings of work today. It's hard to beat that, and that's what you have to feel good about moving forward, is that the Diamondbacks have their you know, I'm not going to say they're Merrill Kelly replacement. I mean, you'd rather have three very, very good starting pitchers in your rotation than two. But Jordan Montgomery has been very, very good since coming over to this team. It gives you some hope about what this time frame without Merrill Kelly could look like, knowing that he is here and he has been very good so far.
At one point, 13 of his 17 first pitch strikes were first strikes were strikes. He got ahead a lot.
Through the first five innings, he had 13 of 17 first pitch strikes. I didn't track it for the sixth and seventh. I think it maybe dropped off a little bit then. But even then, it wasn't necessarily a ton of hard contact. And now he made a mistake pitch to Wilson Contreras, which was really big.
Contreras.
Yes. Thank you. It wasn't perfect. But man, I mean, seven innings with two earned runs, like you'll take that every day of the week.
Seth Harper says Monty got the Randy Johnson treatment. Welcome to the Arizona Diamondbacks, Monty. He said throw a great game with no run support. He was used to that in his Yankees days as well, so that's nothing new for Gumby.
I mean, he did get 17 runs of support.
That's
in his
right.
Last outing,
that's so. True. And we said it was wasted. Just Jesse said it was wasted. So you know who
Montgomery,
to blame this one
his,
on.
I mean, Jordan
you
Montgomery.
Know who to blame
like,
this one on.
Like, he's gotten the full Diamondbacks experience here in two starts. Yes. Right? He gets 17 runs of support one day, and then he gets one run of support.
All his averages out to nine.
Needs. All yeah, he needs yeah, now is
run,
a blown.
I know what you're talking about, Derek. Lead. His average run support this season is nine runs.
Yeah, nothing to complain about.
Oh, you monsters. Nicholas Gruters, thank you for the super chat. He said, Cortman is becoming a serious concern. Baseball is very much a mental game. After Shouldergate, he has not been the same. Not sure what to do with him. We're not sure what to do with him either. Torrey doesn't seem sure. He put him there in the seventh hole. He doesn't look hurt. He doesn't look injured. You might be right. It might be a mental thing for Corbin at this point. I'm not sure. Sometimes when you get in a hole and you just start trying to get desperate to get out of it, things just get worse for you. And I think that we might be seeing that. He hasn't had, at least he had some encouraging at bats there a few weeks ago, but I think lately, at least over this week, not been so much.
Encouraging at bats a few weeks ago.
Well, like,
man.
I mean, you know, he went from a rough start to like really, it seemed like things were getting on path. They were trending in the right direction. And then, like,
and it's
lately,
worse kind of. Yeah,
it feels like it's gotten really worse.
Yeah. I mean, in the top of the second, 1-0 count on Corbin. He took a breaking ball like down in the dirt from Kyle Gibson. He gets a changeup just like up in the zone. Kind of pitch that last year, you feel like Corbin just hits that 430 feet in the seats or something. And it was just a lazy infield pop up at like 66 miles an hour off the bat. I mean, that's just kind of what it's been for Corbin. I have a hard time figuring out exactly what it is. We've talked about teams pitching him up and in and him having a hard time laying off those pitches at times. I mean, that pitch was up in the zone. It wasn't in. It was a hanging changeup. Like, it was a bad pitch. It's the kind of pitch that a good hitter really should be able to do something with. And Corbin is just not locked in right now. Am I worried about him in the long term? Again, I have a hard time saying I am. I mean, we're 3 weeks into the season. It's still April. As I said the other day, I've learned in my limited time doing this that, you know, betting against these premier athletes, players that have demonstrated themselves to be among the best in the league, doesn't tend to work out. Like, generally that talent wins out, and eventually guys like Corbin Carroll, who are exceptionally smart and exceptionally talented, find their way out of these situations. I continue to think that will be the case.
Jimmy Dean, thank you for your super chats. Jimmy says, Torrey did not care about winning the game. Cardinals put out a winning lineup. He did not. And he followed it up with a second super chat that says, hashtag fire Torrey. And of course, we don't fire Torrey in this house around here. But I will say that questioning his managing of games lately, and especially things like this where, you know, there's a rough stretch ahead. The Diamondbacks kind of need to try to win games when they can. I also understand that Torrey needs to rest these guys as much as possible due to how depleted their depth is at this point. So I really do feel like it's a balancing act of still trying to rest guys, still stick to a schedule somewhat, while still also trying to win games and put out the best lineup that you can. I don't think that putting out a lineup where Pavin Smith is your leadoff hitter and you've removed both Cattell and Lourdes, who, by the way, has hit safely in all 10 road games this season, and this was a road game, I don't think that was the smartest move. And I think that there's quite a few of those this season that fans can question when it comes to Torrey. And you know, his lineup and who he's playing. I do think it's a matter of options, though. I really think it is for Torrey, and sometimes he has to play using the, you know, players he's been given, and sometimes it results in a lineup like we saw today. I still think there was maybe a better way to construct it, or maybe a better way to stagger the days off for these guys so that you didn't have both Cattell and Lourdes out of the lineup today.
I mean, to be fair, like Pavin Smith had a decent game, right? I mean, he's 1-for-2 with a walk and a run scored. Like, you know, who's to say if you have a Lourdes in there, like, is Lourdes guaranteed to do better than 1-for-2 with a walk?
No,
not necessarily. I mean, no, it's kind of hard to think about this that way.
And it's easy to question afterwards when they lost and they had a problem putting up.
I mean, I will say, like, I mean, some of the D-backs' problems offensively are because of guys who were in the lineup today and normally are in the lineup. Like, Eugenio Suarez went 0-for-4 in this game. I know he was, you know, better earlier in the series, but he's someone that they certainly need to get going in, you know, more than just like one game every week or one game every few days. He's been pretty inconsistent.
His ups and downs are real.
Yeah. And Corbin Carroll, I mean, you know, we just talked about him, but yeah, I mean, he's a guy you expect to be in there every day. He was 0-for-3 today, wasn't productive. So it's not as simple as, oh, if one of Cattell Marte or Lourdes Gurriel is in the lineup, or heck, even if both of those guys are in the lineup, surely the Diamondbacks find a way, you know, to score 4 or 5 runs, or, you know, more than 5 runs, I guess, is what was really needed to win this game. Doesn't necessarily work that way.
Well, I'll tell you, this little dream of yours might be dead when it comes to me dyeing my hair purple. Damon, where are we at? Are we still at 4? Let's just get rid of that. Let's throw that offset. We're at 4 still. With not a lot of games left, Jesse, you got 2 more against the Dodgers in the month, and then we start a 3-game series here coming up against the Seattle Mariners. And as we discussed, the Mariners have been playing some pretty good baseball lately. So I don't know if they're going to do it. Like I said, I didn't believe in them when I put that bet out there, when that offer was put on the table. I was openly trying to get them to prove me wrong, and instead they absolutely are proving me right.
Jesse, we were so close. We let this slip out of our fingertips here.
I mean, it's not over till it's over, Damon. You know?
10 games that we blew the lead.
Yeah, you had a pretty good lead.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That. Should, this should
purple
easily
hair dream is
easily.
Over. I'm just telling you. Anyway,
yeah, D-backs have to win. They have to win 4-5, and those 5 games are going to be against the Mariners and the Dodgers, which is it's not an easy task, Derek.
Anyway, Red Mage says, I hope Gino goes nuts in Seattle. So do I. I think we all do. I'd love to see Gino go nuts because, man, so far he's been as inconsistent as this team as a whole, I feel like, right? Sometimes it's feast or famine for this lineup. Sometimes it's feast or famine for Gino for sure. But
I will say just about Gino real quick, like over the offseason, it really seemed like a clear win that the Diamondbacks were able to acquire him for what they did, right? I mean, it was Carlos Vargas and Sebi Zavala. You're basically just taking on the money. And we kind of figured like, oh, Gino Suarez is a clear upgrade over what the Diamondbacks had at third base last year. And so far, I mean, it's so early to really be making this assessment, but so far that hasn't really been the case, right? I mean, Gino Suarez has a 6.59 OPS right now. His defense at third base has not been particularly good. So
good at times, but not,
yeah,
again,
good,
not
good at
consistently
times, but
good.
I would say the full body of work is probably a little bit below average. And yeah, I mean, that's not exactly what we were kind of all thinking when the D-backs brought Gino Suarez over. It's part of the risk, you know, of bringing in a guy who's 32 years old and pretty clearly on the downturn of his career. And you're just hoping that you can get that, you know, last bit of productivity out here as his career moves along. So there's plenty of time for him to turn it around. It's not like, you know, Gino Suarez's season is a failure or something after 3 weeks, but that hasn't really been a strength for the D-backs, that third base position here through these first few weeks of the season.
Seth Harper's trying to give me a layup for an ad transition here. No free ads, Seth. Jay Cuddy says, can we talk about the blown calls at the end of the game? We were safe at second base. I've talked about this.
Yeah, I think so.
Jesse hates this. And I've said, like, unfortunately, this has just been a part of baseball forever. But now we get to see it in high def in 4K. And then we still get to see the umpires say that he was safe or out, even though you could clearly see that the second baseman got taken off the base. That's that goddamn neighborhood rule where at one point they just kind of factored in that sometimes the second baseman needs to kind of get out of the way and not touch the bag fully in order to, you know, prevent injury and collisions and whatnot. And it just kind of gets to a point where umpires call this, you know, an out, even though it was clearly safe as far as from the terms of his foot being on the bag when he had the ball in his hand. It did not look like that was the case. I think we're with you on that. It's just there's not going to be a lot of outrage on that because it's part of baseball. They do that all the time. And, you know, when we go back and review it, yeah, when we go back and look at it in slow motion, there's going to be a lot of times where the foot isn't necessarily on the bag, but it's just close enough to qualify.
Yeah, I mean, the other part of that was Ketel Marte at first base, and he was clearly out, obviously. But he.
But why was he out?
He slowed up.
Why was he out?
I mean, he very clearly slowed up. I think Ketel Marte probably should have beat that throw at first base, and yeah, you know, bang bang play at second base.
Run it out like it's a walk, Ketel. Run it out like it's a walk.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like he was. He was looking at what was happening at second. I don't really know why he wouldn't have run
maybe
that out.
Maybe he thought there was only one out left. I don't know. Maybe he thought because they got the out at second, it was a wrap.
Whatever it was, it wasn't a good reason. Ketel Marte should be running hard up the first baseline. Granted, even if he does, even if that inning continues with a runner at first and two outs or whatever it is, D-backs have not done a whole lot of damage this year against other teams' great relievers, right? It feels like any time the D-backs in a tight game are up against, you know, opposing teams like top tier 7, 8, 9, you know, inning 7 through 9 relievers, this is kind of what it looks like, where it's just quick inning after quick inning. And that was the story again today with Jojo Romero and then Andrew Kittredge and Ryan Helsley. Cardinals have a really good back end of the bullpen, and that certainly showed not only today, but also in the Monday game as well.
And we're going to go over the numbers for this series, by the way, and they're probably going to make you as sick as they made me to put together. But, of course, we want to thank you guys for being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel right now. Bless all of you for being here after today's loss. I know you got better things to do, but we thank you for being here to hang out with us. Of course, if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, make sure to do so now. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when any of our wonderful shows go live. Of course, drop us a like. Gabby always loves when you drop us a like. If you're listening on the audio podcasting side, make sure you subscribe over there as well. Leave us a review. We always appreciate those reviews. Those 5-star reviews mean the world to us. Of course, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM Sportsbook app, right now is a great time to do so, especially with their Grand Slam Jackpot promotion. Right now, you can get down on their weekly bet promotion, which happens on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday every single week throughout the MLB season. If you place a $10 bet or more on any player to hit a home run, every single weekend, you have a chance to win part of their daily prize pool if that player does, in fact, hit a grand slam. And we saw that actually happen with Blaze Alexander. So it bless you over there, People's producer. If the player hits a grand slam on that day, they can win the $50,000 daily prize or a share of that prize with every other winning bettor. Of course, if you are a new user, you can sign up now and use our bonus code of PHNX by downloading the app. Signing up and depositing at least $10 into your BetMGM Sportsbook account, placing your first wager. And when you do, you will receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your bet loses. If the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. Of course, swing by the PHNX Bet Show. Let Shane get you situated on some bets. And then, of course, sign up for that BetMGM Sportsbook app using our bonus code of PHNX. When you place your first sportsbook wager through the mobile app for at least $10, you will receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details, and now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Well, of course, Gila River Resorts and Casinos is the place to be for the PHNX Cardinals draft party. Make sure not to miss that. And of course, it's also the place to be whenever you need a break, whenever you need a staycation or a night out on the town. Gila River Resorts and Casinos is the place for an authentic and immersive experience. They have an unprecedented level of entertainment and excitement you just won't find anywhere else. And they also have some wonderful dining options that range from upscale to approachable. You can check out their rooftop restaurant, Prime Shula Steakhouse, or grab a cocktail and a bite by the pool, which I highly recommend. Also, frosty beverage to go along with that. Head to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and let them show you what Next Level is all about. You do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit playatgila.com for more details. Damon, that's where you're going to be spending your night, I'm guessing, after the draft party?
All night.
After we hold the line?
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways that this goes at Gila River Resorts and Casinos.
Let's hear it.
We hold the line.
Of course we do. We are team hold the line.
We are team hold the line.
We party.
Mm-hmm.
We gamble. Celebrate. Mm-hmm. We drink a lot. We hang out.
Good time.
We do you.
We do you.
We do us.
We do us at Gila River Resorts and Casinos.
The other way this goes is we don't hold the line, and it's hard to even think about, really. It gets me emotional, but we don't hold the line, and we gamble.
Yeah.
And we drink a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a great time.
We
and we do us.
More. And we
at
do
Gila
us.
River Resorts. Yeah. Sounds like
it's
we
hard
win.
To have a bad time.
No matter what, it sounds like we win. But you know who should have won, especially when it comes to the series, is the Arizona Diamondbacks. Because we have the numbers. We have we're gonna work the count here with the numbers from this series. And Jesse, you can go ahead and talk because this just makes me physically ill.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. You put these together and can't say I'm super surprised with what I see here. The Diamondbacks outscored the Cardinals 18-11 in this series,
gross.
Which as Damon pointed out the other day, it feels like the Diamondbacks have outscored the opponent
every series,
just like a run scoring, a total run scoring basis in pretty much every series they've played this year.
I have all of them. I should just look at.
Yeah,
all
we should
of
look
graphics.
Through. I'm trying to think like off the top of my head of a series where they wouldn't have outscored the opponent. I'll have to take a closer look at that in a second. But
it's because they always have that one game that they blow them out, right? I mean, maybe that series against the Braves might be the only one where they didn't because they got swept. But like even against the Yankees, they had that 7-0 win that then makes the series kind of look lopsided in the Diamondbacks' favor when they still lose 2 out of 3. This here, the Diamondbacks 31 hits to the Redbirds 21. The Diamondbacks went 10 for 28 with runners in scoring position, but so much of that was yesterday. And I mean, honestly, they even did a better job in game one. Today, 0 for 8 today. The Cardinals went 3 for 19 with runners in scoring position. 158 batting average to the Diamondbacks is 357.
That's pretty crazy.
That's
Cardinals
just
took 2 out of 3 going 3 of 19 with runners in scoring
That's
position.
That's nuts.
And giving up 6 runs per game on average.
Oh, God. 6.46 starting pitching ERA to the Diamondbacks, 2.45. And then relief pitching, yes, of course, the Diamondbacks get beat there. A 5.40 ERA for the Cardinals and a 6.75 for the Diamondbacks.
D-backs didn't lose this game or this series because of their starting pitching, Derek. I mean, I know Brandon Fott sort of unraveled there in that sixth inning on Monday.
He really did.
But he was still pretty darn good overall. And then, you know, you had Tommy Henry giving you 6 innings of 1-run ball yesterday. You have Jordan Montgomery, 7 innings of three runs, 2 of them earned today.
Yeah.
You should be getting at least 2 out of 3 with those kind of starting pitching performances. But, yeah, just once again, it goes back to this offense just being feast or famine. And, you know, I do think beyond just like the, oh, they score 15 runs one day and then they don't score any runs the next day or whatever. I do think it's important to point out that the Diamondbacks did a lot of their run scoring yesterday against subpar pitchers for the Cardinals.
Sure.
Right. I mean, they got to Steven Matz, which was impressive. Steven Matz had a pretty good season up to that point.
But then they bring in
Zach Thompson, who's not exactly a great pitcher, and the D-backs just slugged like crazy off Zach Thompson. It's much different scoring runs against Zach Thompson than it is scoring against J.J. Romero and Andrew Kittredge and Ryan Helsley and, you know, the A relievers in that Cardinals bullpen.
That 7-8-9
really,
is pretty good.
Yeah, that's really like the separator for me. It's like the D-backs are scoring runs off other. It was the same in that Giants game, right, where the D-backs scored 17 17 runs, a lot of those runs were scored against guys that were sent out to AAA the next day, right?
Yeah.
You got to be able to score runs against the best in the opposing team's bullpen, you know, not just these guys who are kind of coming in to fill innings. And that's been a big theme for this team throughout the year, is just not being able to score against really the best pitchers that the opposing team has.
I think another part of it too is the fact here that the Diamondbacks, as much as you would like to see them save it for another game, right, when we yeah. have these big outings, they can't, right? We know that's not something right. they can really do. And it's almost like you would think that the big runs, the big outings, the big days they've had, the big games they've had offensively would really carry over, because that's why you want to keep your foot on the gas during a game like that, right? There's no real reason to embarrass your opponents the way the Diamondbacks have if they could, in fact, save some runs for the next game. But the idea here is that you want to get in such a groove that it carries over and you go on a winning streak and you're able to maybe steamroll a couple of opponents in a role like that, you know, maybe have a series where you're able to sweep the opponent and have every game kind of be a blowout. The Diamondbacks just seem incapable of that at this point. And that's what's, it's a conundrum. That's the part that I'm sure that is even driving Torey Lovullo nuts at this point. Like, how can we have a day like yesterday and then have a day like today? I mean, inconsistency could be a part of it. And I mean that when it comes to Torey's lineup, right? Someone else asked, why couldn't we put in the same lineup today that we had yesterday? I don't have an answer for you on that. I know Torey has to do what he has to do when it comes to sitting guys, but
Gabby, like, you want to get him a day off every series. That I totally get. It's really, yeah, it's Cattell and Lourdes. Like, you know, they both really need to sit when the team has an off day tomorrow. I do also understand the travel for the D-backs on this road trip is pretty crazy. I mean, they went from Phoenix to San Francisco, which isn't terrible, but then from San Francisco to St. Louis. Now they're going from St. Louis to Seattle, and then they're going from Seattle to Phoenix. So the travel schedule there is pretty tough, but with the off day tomorrow, sitting both of those guys, I said it earlier, I'll say it again, it didn't really make any sense to me.
And it could
cost
them.
Who knows if it would have changed anything.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't live in that timeline. We live in this one, which could be a darker timeline, or who knows, maybe maybe this is the good timeline. But I will tell you that even though we don't know space and time and reality, we do know that numbers don't lie. And of course, let's take a look at today's number. Jesse, hit them with it about this game or series. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, today's number, this is a sad one.
Oh, no.
Today's number is zero.
No, no.
And zero represents the number of extra base hits the Diamondbacks had. In this game.
Are you kidding me?
And that's another big factor. Like, you look at seven hits in a game and you're like, well, you should be able to score more than one run on seven hits. But if everything's a single, Derek, it's hard to score runs on just singles,
yeah.
right? Like, you got to
yeah.
string a few of them together in the same inning in order for that to really go anywhere. So there just wasn't any slug whatsoever to speak of today with the Diamondbacks. Outside of that, very, very near grand slam by Christian Walker in the first inning.
What could have been.
But yeah, I mean, outside of that, the D-backs just didn't really hit the ball all that hard at any point in this game. And credit to Kyle Gibson. I mean, Kyle Gibson, I know he's not the best starting pitcher in the world at this stage in his career, and nor has he really ever been. But he really held his own today. I don't think it was all that the Diamondbacks were floundering up there. I think Kyle Gibson pitched himself a pretty good game, and especially in moments where the D-backs had guys on base, he really bared down and made some really good pitches and seemed to be just nailing the glove every time.
What did you just say? He did what?
I don't. You're going to have to.
You said bear down. Don't do that.
Sorry. I did.
This is the Sun Devil's house. Remember that.
Is it the hell it's not?
as someone who didn't go to ASU or U of A, it's hard for me really like.
I'm sorry. Who? Let's go over degrees here on this podcast.
Oh, God.
One of us has gone to either one of these schools. Yeah, I think that qualifies us as an Arizona Wildcats podcast.
You've gone to one
like,
of those
I think
schools.
I'm okay being an Arizona Wildcats podcast, Derek. Like, do you really want to associate yourself with Arizona State right
Hell
now?
No.
No, thank you. Shane.
Now I'm the producer. This is an ASU podcast. Yeah. Also, through 16 games, the Seattle Mariners leader in batting average is?
Josh Rojas.
Josh Rojas.
God damn it, Shane.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That doesn't make me feel any better. I don't like any of this stuff. None of this information that's been presented here is...
Jesse and I declared this is a UVA podcast.
Gross. I'm going to get Shane to beat you
up
later.
I'm not willing to take flack from you for saying bear down at one point because I refuse to strongly favor Arizona State.
This is just bad.
Jesse likes winners.
It's bad all around. Of course.
That's why I'm a Suns fan, Damon. It's a sad day. Sad day to be a Suns fan.
I can't even go on after you said that. That's the most laughable thing ever
Shane
said on
is
this
right.
show.
Josh Ross is sitting 306.
Yeah, it's incredible. I don't want to talk about it, but I do want to talk about needing gas right now, Jesse. And I hate that I do because gas is very expensive. But I did notice Circle K, very cheap gas already. And I am part of the Inner Circle, so I do get more off. I'm also part of their Easy Pay program, which I get another 10 cents off. So you can stack those deals over at Circle K and make sure you get as much as possible off of your cost of gas lately with how expensive it is. Can save 25 cents per gallon on your first five fill-ups if you sign up for the Inner Circle program for free right now by downloading the Circle K app today. Terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for details. You also save 3 cents off per gallon every day after that for just being a member. If you sign up to be a premium member, you'll save 5 cents off per gallon. You also get all sorts of coupons in the app. So make sure to sign up for the Inner Circle membership program today. Also, of course, we are the Chicken Tendy Gang, and the best place to get your chicken tendies is at Four Peaks. So you go to your local Four Peaks. I think we're having our meetup for the Coyotes, which, again, if you want to stack sad things on top of sad things, we're saying goodbye to our hockey team. So
it's been a great few days, week in Arizona sports.
God, it makes me ill. But, of course, be sure to follow Four Peaks on social media. And, of course, check out their brand-new beer. It's a collaboration with our friends at Bad Birdie. It's their Bad Birdie Juicy Golden Ale. Incredible out of the tap, incredible out of the bottle. It is super drinkable and the perfect companion at the tea box or in your fridge. Visit fourpeaks.com/locator to find all your favorite beers and events. Check out Four Peaks Brew or Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest Arizona's hometown brewery. Must be 21 or older to drink Four Peaks, and please drink responsibly.
That beer is so good. I can't get over it. Every time someone talks about the Bad Birdie,
It's amazing.
Get it in my belly.
Like I said, I had it out of the tap the other day, and it might have been one of the most refreshing beer experiences I've ever had. I was in one of those big cold frosty mugs that they keep in the refrigerator and everything.
Where did you get this, may I ask?
This was up in Anthem. I took my daughter to a escape room, and then we just found a bar across the street that we went over to, and lovely experience. Sometimes the best times you can have can be impromptu, you know, experiences like this where you have to make the best out of a situation. Next thing you know, you're drinking, you know, a gigantic, delicious, juicy golden ale and having the time of your life.
You took your 14-year-old daughter there?
13-year-old daughter.
13-year-old
not to the bar,
there.
To the escape room. She. I left her at the escape room, and then I went with my wife to the bar.
All right, that makes a lot more. I thought you were saying the bar was like the post-escape room hangout spot.
No, that'd be a bad choice as a parent.
And everything.
Her birthday, so no, I wasn't taking her to a bar for a birthday yet, but hopefully in like 8 more years we can experience that joy together. Again, though, something the Diamondbacks probably aren't looking forward to is this upcoming schedule. Because it is pretty brutal, and things, of course, in the next few weeks don't get any easier for this Diamondbacks team that doesn't have much relief in sight. Paul Sewald, though, getting closer, and when you talk about a team that isn't able to close out games, that's somebody that could be a sight for sore eyes here very soon. He made his first
rehab
start
outing
for the Reno Aces.
Rehab outing for the Reno Aces. I believe Teo's out in St. Louis reported today that, according to manager Torrey Lovello, Sewald is actually back in Arizona. D-backs are trying to figure out whether he should go back out and do another rehab outing or maybe multiple rehab outings, or if he's ready to go and could maybe even join the team in Seattle. So Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I imagine for Paul, it'd probably be cool to be able to pitch in Seattle, to be able to make his return there, given that he obviously spent three very, very good years of his major league career in Absolutely. Seattle, and that organization is responsible really for making him the very, very good back end reliever that he is today. But yeah, 21 pitches yesterday, did give up a couple of runs. Neither of those were earned. I believe he had a couple of strikeouts in that game. Velo was 91, which is pretty similar to where it was toward the end of spring training. Nothing alarming there. So yeah, I mean, D-backs could really use Paul Sewald right now.
They could. They absolutely could. And this, especially for this stretch of the schedule that, again, they're very shorthanded and it's difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I wrote about this a little bit yesterday, the Diamondbacks bullpen, and, you know, whether they're going to maybe regret not adding over the offseason. That's something we talked a lot about, how, you know, for as great as Ryan Thompson, Kevin Ginkle and Paul Sewald were down the stretch last year, you maybe wanted to add some reinforcements there just to really make sure the bullpen was in a good spot heading into this year. Obviously, the bullpen has struggled here in the early going of the season. Their like team bullpen ERA is not bad, but the bullpen's been good in low leverage situations and very, very bad in high leverage situations when you know the game is really those moments where these games are really decided. But it's hard to really assess this D-backs bullpen without Paul Sewald. He was such a big stabilizing presence for this team last year. And you have to wonder, like, once he's back in there, does D-backs bullpen all of a sudden just, do we flip a switch? And, you know, it's Thompson, Ginkle, Sewald, you know, good night. That's the end of the game. Or are we going to do that thing again for the next 4 or 5 months? Or are there still some holes in this bullpen? I guess we'll hopefully, you know, Sewald gets back and we'll find that out pretty soon.
Diamondbacks have 8 series in a row against teams that are playing some pretty good baseball.
Yeah.
Even the weaker teams over their schedule right now, they play 3 against the Mariners, 3 against the Dodgers. Follow that with the Padres, the Reds, the Orioles, the Reds again, then the Tigers, who, again, you might have at one point at least circled that as a team that wasn't playing good, but the Tigers are playing some good baseball. Then the Dodgers again. It does their schedule doesn't really have a weak team until the Marlins on May 24th. And who the hell knows if the Marlins
that's a month from today?
Who knows if they're even going to be a weak team playing good baseball or bad baseball at that time? It just their schedule does not get easier. And I mean, they get some relief in June when they play maybe the White Sox and the Nationals. But I mean, this is just going to be a very difficult stretch during a time where this roster is depleted. And the Diamondbacks are, of course, trying to do everything they can to call in some reinforcements for the time being. And by that, I mean Sergio Alcantara is once again an Arizona Diamondback.
Yeah, he is, Derek.
Let's do this one more time, baby.
So this is the 5th time that the Diamondbacks have acquired one Sergio Alcantara. A brief history, if I may. Back in July 2012, that's when the Diamondbacks first brought Sergio Alcantara into the organization. He was signed to a minor league deal. Way back when, 12 years ago now. And then in 2017, Diamondbacks trade Sergio Alcantara to the Detroit Tigers to acquire one JD Martinez. Big move there.
Totally worth it.
5 years later, March 2022, the Diamondbacks acquire Sergio Alcantara in a trade with the Chicago Cubs for cash considerations.
5 years between the first deal and then the second deal, and then 5 more years between that deal and the next deal. That's
but it
wild.
Gets better. 2 months later, in May of 2022, the D-backs designate Alcantara for assignment. And then 2 months after that, in July of 2022, they claim Alcantara off waivers from the San Diego Padres. And then, 3 months after that, or 4 months after that, they designate Alcantara for assignment. And then last season, this brings us to August of 2023, the D-backs signed Sergio Alcantara to a minor league contract. People were commenting on some tweets about this, talking about how Sergio Alcantara was in some of the NL champ photos, because I believe he was on the taxi squad for the Diamondbacks throughout at least a portion of the postseason run. Yeah. So you might have seen him around there. And then in November of this past year, Alcantara became a free agent. And then, of course, yesterday we got the news that the Diamondbacks have brought back Sergio Alcantara. They acquired him from the Pittsburgh Pirates for cash considerations. And we're back, Derek. Sergio Alcantara is back with the Diamondbacks.
If this was a relationship, I would have to have a talk with Sergio. I would have to let him know that this is toxic and that she doesn't love you like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this doesn't, you gotta think about you here, you know? Yeah, you're a person, right? You're a person. Can't constantly have your emotions tossed around like this, that the way the organization has. But yeah, again, right now the Diamondbacks are very much looking wherever they can get some depth here, and it's understandable that they're trying, especially with just some of the pieces that are available, to see if they could work out just at least to get them through this stretch, right? And like, that not only is this stretch difficult as far as the competition, but it's just difficult as far as getting getting healthy bodies in the lineup, and getting some guys some rest at some point.
All right, I'm gonna ask you a question. All right, how old do you think Sergio Alcantara is?
Wow. Okay.
Just I know you probably haven't like looked at his baseball reference page in the last.
No, I have not. I mean, 10 years, like, right there, right? So,
yeah.
31.
He is 27.
How is that possible? How is that possible?
I mean, that means
signed with the organization in 2012.
Yeah, so I guess
what was he, 15 or 16?
Yeah, I mean, he's an international amateur, so yeah, probably right around there. Yeah, pretty wild. In my head, like, I was shocked pulling this up. In my head, Alcantara was, yeah, like at least like 31, 32, yeah, like in his early 30s.
Just due to the math.
But yeah, man, he's still on the upswing of his major league career, potentially.
Let's go.
His opportunities have been a little spotty, but the Diamondbacks they're obviously in a bit of a tough spot right now with all these injuries. So who knows? Who knows if we see Sergio Alcantara actually play in the majors at any point? But yes, a great storyline from the Diamondbacks' perspective that he's back with the organization for now the fifth time.
That's pretty amazing. Well, we know, of course, the Diamondbacks, he's not the only guy the Diamondbacks are currently calling on. The Diamondbacks added Colton Wong, who right now isn't doing great in Reno, but like I said, he's kind of getting back on track a little bit, trying to get things going, but a 602 OPS currently. Did have a game-winning hit the other day, but again, the Diamondbacks just need to try to find some bodies at this point, and that part sucks for both the organization and the way they have to juggle the roster. Like, that's the thing right now that I think is the biggest the biggest problem right now for the Diamondbacks. Yeah. Is trying to still keep so many of these guys on the 15-day IL while adding other pieces. It's not easy. But when we look to the minor leagues, the Diamondbacks did have something very fun happen with their single A pitching prospect, Hosmer Alvarez. What did he do?
Is that how you say it? Is it Hosmer?
I think it's Hosmer.
Okay. All right. You'd be better at figuring that out than I would.
I don't know about that. Damon would probably understand. That's arguable that I know any names better than you. But what did he do, Jesse?
Yeah, so Hosmer Alvarez enters yesterday's Visalia game. This is against the Inland Empire 66ers. So big single A baseball game happening yesterday. It was the seventh inning. He comes in, has a 2-0 lead. Visalia Rawhide closing in on potentially their seventh victory of the season. And Hosmer Alvarez is called upon. He strikes out the first batter he faces. So good start. Next guy, Adrian Palencia, singles on a ground ball to center fielder. One Drew Jones, of course. Alvarez throws a wild pitch. Palencia moves over to second base. And then he proceeds, Derek, to strike out the next four batters in a row, which does make five strikeouts in one inning. And if you thought that there were only three outs in an inning, you were wrong. No, I guess you were right. But
was this a professional actual baseball game?
Yes, there were still only three outs in this inning. Yeah, Hosmer Alvarez, he struck out five in the seventh inning, Derek, because he uncorked two wild pitches on the third strikes of two of those strikeouts. And so those batters reached. He did give up a run in the inning. But yes, when all was said and done, he threw, I guess he gave up two runs in the inning, actually, with all these wild pitches everywhere. So he gave up two runs, but he had five strikeouts in that seventh inning. It's pretty remarkable. That's
pretty wild. That's the most minor league thing I think I've heard all today. So thank you for that, because that can only happen in a single A. game, but actually it could happen at times with this Diamondbacks team, because
that's next, right?
That's next. Let's not hope for that, but of course let's actually hope for them to get some relief from someone at some point. Jordan Montgomery, again, he has been such a godsend for this team, considering what he's been able to give them so far. We had some concerns that he would be able to give them length out of the gate, and instead in his first two outings he's given them 13 innings of 10 hit baseball with allowing 3 earned runs total. So
yeah,
worth every penny the Diamondbacks paid for him.
100%. I was just thinking the other day of the Boris Four, right? Matt Chapman, Cody Bellinger, Blake Snell, and Jordan Montgomery. It's way too early to make any real determinations on any of those guys, but so far I would say Jordan Montgomery has looked by far the best out of all of them. Blake Snell obviously very much struggled in the early going with the Giants. He hit the injured list today. Not totally sure what that injury was, but not a great sign for San Francisco, certainly. Cody Bellinger also hit the injured list today with a fractured rib, I think I saw. And then Matt Chapman has been all right for the Giants. I think he's already up to 1 WAR on Baseball Reference, which is pretty good. The defense is certainly always going to be there. But offensively, he hasn't given the Giants a whole lot at this point in the season. So, yeah, I mean, Jordan Montgomery is exactly what the Diamondbacks needed, right? Especially with all the injuries that have happened. I think he's the reason that you can still look at these next couple of months without Eduardo Rodriguez and without potentially Merrill Kelly as well. You can still imagine the Diamondbacks kind of hanging around and being all right because Jordan Montgomery is here and he's pitching as well as he has so far.
Well, we do have some more minor league news coming tomorrow, because we're going to be joined by Sod Poodles broadcaster Stephen Carey.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
One of our favorites around here.
Do I have to get sad that Chris isn't going to be with us? I'm already sad Chris isn't with them, but yeah, we won't go down that road.
Chris is too big time for us now.
They're their own individuals. I'll just keep saying that to myself.
Don't feel sorry for Hollywood Carey.
Yeah, Hollywood Carey. That's right. He's the Hollywood kid. But of course, we are excited to be joined by Stephen tomorrow, so make sure to join us at 1 p.m. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_caveman with a K. This maniac next to me is at Jesse N. Friedman. Of course, the people's producer, Damon, is at Damon Dog. That's DAWG. We are Damon's dogs. Bark, bark. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for stopping by. We appreciate your time. We'll see you tomorrow, and we hope you have a wonderful night. And in the meantime, remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you can put up a lot of runs more than one day in a row. Do it consecutively, for Christ's sake.